Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Seven Veils, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, and The Assessment.
Adam Egoyan is a filmmaker who's been around for quite a long while now. By the way, his first name, for people who don't know this, is not Adam. It is Atom, A-T-O-M. And he is a Canadian filmmaker and a very gifted one, in my opinion. He has not been clicking on all cylinders for a while now. Some of his earlier films, way back around, roughly around 1990, are really, really excellent, particularly one called The Sweet Hereafter, which is based on a novel by Russell Banks and stars Sarah Polley, and is a really extraordinary film. I really recommend it to people who haven't seen it. And other movies he made way back then, one called Family Viewing, one called Exotica, are really interesting movies. As I say, in recent years, he hasn't been making such fine work, I think. But now I think he has more or less returned to form in his new movie called Seven Veils. And yes, Seven Veils might bring to mind the idea of Salome, who danced the Dance of the Seven Veils many, many, many years ago, millennia ago, in fact. And this movie is sort of, in a way, kind of about Salome, but it's about the Salome who was dreamed up by an opera composer and also by a playwright. Oscar Wilde wrote a very fine play about Salome, and then that was made into an opera by Richard Strauss. It's actually Libretto is by somebody else, but it's based on the Oscar Wilde play. And it's all about Salome and her wily ways and how she demands the head of John the Baptist on a platter. That's a very famous biblical story. And according to the opera, she fell in love with John the Baptist and she really wanted to kiss his lips, but he was John the Baptist and he wasn't going to allow this. And so when she, in her frustration, she demands of her father, the king, that somebody bring her John the Baptist's head so she can kiss those lips. So it's a grisly story. Some operas really do have grisly plot lines. And what's going on in this movie, Seven Veils, is that a young woman is putting on a production of the Richard Strauss opera. It's a very great opera, by the way. I recommend that too to anybody who isn't already familiar with it. And she is putting on this opera. She's restaging it. The thing is that this is an opera by a Canadian opera company, which was put on many years ago by this young woman's mentor. And she was working on it as sort of an assistant way back then. Well, now the mentor has died. The opera company wants to put on the opera Salome again. And the young woman who was once the assistant is now in charge of putting together the production again. The thing is that the mentor who staged the original production, and again, this is the original production put on again with some changes. The mentor who put on the original production used her own troubled past as kind of an element of the opera staging. So now the young woman, haven't mentioned her name. Her name is Janine, and she's played by Amanda Seyfried. Now she is putting on the production again. So she has to now confront the elements of her own troubled past, which were incorporated into the original production of this opera. And she has to make her own changes in some ways to make it even more personal to herself and in some ways to sort of purge these memories, these demons that have haunted her pretty much all of her life, since they involve things that happened to her when she was a child. Yes, it's a complicated story. Adam Egoyan often, not always, but often makes movies with complicated stories that jump between past and present and where the past always seems to be haunting the present, that sort of thing. That's something that he has liked in some of his movies over the years. Here, that's a very, very important part of the film. film, and the film jumps among different elements. We have the rehearsals for the opera itself, we have backstage stuff and getting ready for the new opera production, and we have even flashbacks to the past of Janine when she was a little girl and some of these traumas were coming on. And there are subplots, such as one of the singers in the opera is clearly an abusive male who comes on to one of the workers on the production in a very, very obnoxious and probably illegal way. So that's another little thing that's going on. And it's something else that Adam Egoyan has been interested in for quite a long while is the idea of predatory males. And here we have, we definitely have that happening in this movie again. It's a complicated movie. I think it's a beautifully done movie. It's more or less easy to follow, even on a single viewing. And it's gorgeously filmed. And, well, I am an opera fan myself. I go to a lot of opera. So, yes, I like any movie. Well, not any movie, but I like a well-done movie that involves the world of opera, which this film does. So if you're familiar with the opera Salome, you'll enjoy it even more. If you're not familiar with that, you'll get a little bit of an introduction to it here. Mainly, you get a very interesting, complex, and thought-provoking drama that deals not only with an opera from a long time ago and a biblical story from a very long time ago, but also with contemporary issues. So interesting, and in many ways, very successful movie. I recommend it. Seven Veils, a return to form, more or less, by the very fine filmmaker Adam Egoyan. Now for something that is very different, a movie with an unusual title, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl. This is a movie which is written and directed by Rangano Nayoni, who earlier, some years ago, made a very good film called I Am Not a Witch. And this is a movie from Zambia. It's an international co-production, but it was made in Zambia, and it's by a filmmaker who was born in Zambia, and it's very much a Zambian film with that very strange title, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl. So what we have at the very beginning of On Becoming a Guinea Fowl is a young woman named Shula, who is driving in her car. She's coming home from a party, and she's dressed in a very strange costume that makes her look a little bit like some sort of strange exotic animal. Maybe she's already turning into a guinea fowl. We'll see. In any case, she's driving her car home from this costume party all alone, and there appears to be somebody lying in the road. So she stops the car. She gets out. This is all the very beginning of the movie now, to see what's going on, and it turns out to be her Uncle Fred. So what in the world has happened to Uncle Fred? Is he drunk? What's going on? Okay, no, he's dead. So that is the starting point for the movie. So Shula makes a couple of phone calls, and since this is Zambia in the middle of the night and you can't just dial 911, she is advised to stay in her car, stay nearby, but don't do anything. The police will come eventually along, and then they'll start to take care of the situation. So that's where the thing starts. Then another character shows up, a cousin of Shula's, who is a young woman who really drinks a lot. And she is pretty drunk, as we thought at first Uncle Fred might be. So she gets involved in the story as well. And then a lot of other characters come in when Uncle Fred is finally brought back to a family home and his funeral gets underway. Now, this is a funeral in Zambia, Africa, and it is not like most American funerals, at least not the ones that I've been a little bit familiar with. This is a great big extended family affair, which involves all kinds of eating and, oh, in a way, partying and mourning at the same time. And then we get to see all kinds of really interesting local funerary customs. For example, people are supposed to apparently crawl up to the door, chanting certain phrases when they arrive at the funeral. So you get to see all of these really interesting Zambian customs. And that's one of the great draws of this movie, for me at least. I'm always interested in seeing things from very different parts of the world, and you definitely get some acquaintanceship with that here. Very, very interesting stuff. Some of the stuff we see as the funeral proceeds, and much of the movie is devoted to the funeral. Some of it is comic, and some of it is tragic, and some of it is in between. We're not only at the funeral, we're not watching a funeral ceremony for a large part of this movie. We're seeing people who are in and around the funeral. There are a bunch of men sitting outdoors, and we see what's going on with them as they eat and drink. We see how Shula and others have to prepare the food and serve the food. And this has to be done in a particular way where you sort of crawl along and ask people what they want. Again, all of these customs are very much there. And through it all, Shula is dealing with her own emotions. She isn't really from this milieu anymore. She's been away. Now she's back where she was born and raised, I guess. But she isn't really used to all this stuff herself. And she's got to deal with all of this. And she's got to deal with all these different people and their complicated relationships. And she's got to sort of help to keep this funeral and all the stuff going on around the funeral organized. And, well, all of this stuff is going on at the same time. And in the meanwhile, as I say, we keep getting not only the personalities of the people, but how their personalities manifest themselves in a ceremony, or I shouldn't say a ceremony, but I should say a day of ceremonial activity, a day, maybe more than a day, of ceremonial activity, some of which is ritual and which has prescribed forms, and some of which is very definitely the semi-dysfunction of this extended family. So, Becoming a Guinea Fowl has gotten very, very rapturous reviews from a lot of people, and it is. It's a wonderful movie. It's really quite fascinating. I'm not sure it all holds together. It's not always easy to follow, but it's just really interesting to look at. For American viewers not all that familiar with Africa, I've been to Africa, but I can't say it's a place I know intimately. It's just going to be a real education. And for people who are really familiar with Africa, and specifically with Zambia, it'll probably just be a really, really interesting watch because it just really carries you into that world and makes it very real for the period of time that you're watching the movie. So On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, highly recommended movie and very different from all the American stuff, which dominates, of course, all of our screens. And finally, something still different from these two movies, The Assessment, a movie directed by Fleur Fortuné, and it is a science fiction film. The Assessment is a dystopian science fiction film. Almost all science fiction movies are dystopian, it seems. And it takes place sometime in the future when, in order to have a child, you, the married couple, must be assessed. You must pass a very rigorous test. And that is what The Assessment is all about. It is about this assessment. So we have a married couple, played by Alicia Vikander and Himesh Patel, and they want to have a child. And therefore, they have to be assessed by this person who comes into their home, moves into their home. So, that's the setup for the movie. And the movie takes place day by day, very clearly marked off. So the assessor explains the rules. My decision will be final. I will be living with you for the following week. Every day you will go through certain tests and we'll see how you pass. Then when day two starts, we discover what this assessment is going to be like, because the assessor starts to really, really, really behave like a child, sometimes like a little baby, sometimes like a petulant adolescent. And the parents have to deal with all this stuff. And that's apparently what this assessment is going to be all about. And sometimes the assessor puts herself in mortal danger, like she might die. She swims out like a little child, swims out into the sea. And what's going to happen here? And they have to rescue her. And what if they don't rescue her? And is this really part of the test? Or is this just something that's gone haywire and it shouldn't have happened at all? And all the while, the assessor is watching the married couple, and all the time the married couple is trying to cope with this. And then, of course, tensions arise between the two of them. That's what the movie is all about. It's a science fiction movie, and therefore it's about a world which is not exactly like our world, and there you have to sort of adjust yourself to that. And the story itself is very straightforward. It has a lot of surprises because the assessor keeps springing surprises on this couple who want to have a baby, and all the time you're wondering, will they pass the test? Will they be allowed to have a baby? What will happen here? At one point, there's a little bit of a dinner party, which they are forced to have, and people show up at that, and some of them are people who have been through all of this. A couple who have actually passed the test and had a baby, maybe, but we're not really sure of that. So it's all very, very mysterious, and there's a lot of surprises along the way. The movie is, in fact, very futuristic. But it's also on a very intimate scale. It's not a science fiction movie with, you know, futuristic spectacle in it. The situations are futuristic. The whole thing seems to be taking place in a sort of climate-controlled bubble. So that's another interesting aspect of the story, not right in the foreground, but always there in the background. But it's really very much a story about what happens between the married couple and their assessor. And at the end of the story, we found out some real surprises about the whole process that they've been through and about what's sort of really going on here. It is exactly what we thought, but it's not quite exactly as we thought it was. So there are some real surprises at the end. And that's a nice thing. It's nice to have a few little extra zingers and kickers near the very end of the story. I don't think The Assessment is a great science fiction film, but it's a passable science fiction film. I rather enjoyed watching it. It held my attention all the way through, which doesn't always happen with fantasies, and it's a worthwhile movie. So of the three movies that I've talked about today, this one is maybe not the most exciting of the ones of the bunch, but it's worth watching, especially if you're a science fiction fan. It's a good movie, as I often say, not a great movie, but it'll keep you watching, it'll keep you guessing, and that's okay. So that is my somewhat but not entirely science fictional story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Seven Veils, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, and The Assessment.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.